I was all alone. My times of trouble and pain. I used to think there was no one else who felt the cold and rain. Then I woke up to humanity. We were standing hand in hand, and I knew we were one again across this great land.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another morning, another Thursday morning. Show of the Balancing Point. This is Dr. John Neeters, Doctor of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine, and I'm here to spend an hour with you and do some inquiry. One of my favorite things, this is one of the high points of my work life, is to come in and get to spend a little time with you. And in that regard, I want to ask you for your help this morning. And what I want you to do is break through that fear, break through that resistance, and give me a call with some questions. You know, I was again talking to my buddy Roger, and he was talking about it, and the fact that there is no show unless you call in. I already do a monologue on Mondays, and I really don't want to do another one. This Thursday is really an exciting time for me to just interact with people. So I've been teaching for about 35 years. It's a little shocking, but it's true, teaching adult education of different types. And one of the things that I discovered a very long time ago, both for myself as a questioner, as a student, and being a teacher and a facilitator, is that there really, really are no dumb questions. You know, you hear that a lot, but really, it's the simplest, the most maybe seemingly obvious things that lead us to the deepest inquiry. You know, if we want to take it into ontological circles, you know, I have never gotten any value or seen anyone get value, really, of sitting and contemplating the future of humanity, for example, or going into these great complexities. Where the breakthroughs happen, where the transformative experiences happen, are with questions like, who am I? Now, that seems pretty insanely obvious. However, you could spend a lifetime in contemplation to get to the truth, to what is actually the case, or what am I, or what is another. And it's in this fundamental, basic questioning that life reveals itself, that the real inquiry, the real power lies. So, no dumb questions. So anything that occurs to you that you want to talk about, now it's fine. If it's about a condition, seeing a Behçet's patient in a couple days, and those are very few and far between, fortunately. But any condition that you want to talk about is fine. A stubbed toe, doesn't matter. Give me a call. The phone number here is 415-223-8240, and we'll get you on the air and talk a bit. Now, a couple of announcements. One, I just caught the very end of Dave's show. Dave Stouter, who's on the 7 to 8 o'clock time slot just before the Balancing Point. And if you haven't listened to Dave's show, and I know most of you have, but if you haven't, you really need to give it a listen, because he has the best people in the industry on at his show, and he's interviewing them. And you'll find out a tremendous amount of in-depth information about some of the things that we handle on a little bit more superficial level in the Balancing Point. And I have a couple more important announcements coming up in a few minutes, but let's go ahead and take a phone call. Hi, this is Dr. Neeters.
Hello?
Hello? Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Certainly can. How you doing?
Oh, great. I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm calling this morning on behalf of my mother. She has a chronic condition of swelling and edema in her legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten to the point where she can't put shoes on. You can't see her ankles. And she's become unstable at home and fell, bruised her hip severely, and couldn't get out of bed yesterday and got admitted into ER. And last night she was admitted in the hospital for 24 hours and has been transferred to rehab. The family's been trying to get her referred to a vascular specialist forever, and they're caught in the Western paradigm. I'm calling to ask, what kind of test do we need to do to find out what's going on and what's causing this fluid buildup between her tissues? It's really, really bad. And they did an ultrasound yesterday. There's no blood clots. They did x-rays. She hasn't fractured anything because they were concerned about the fall. what do we do? What do we ask for? We're just trapped.
Yeah, and a little frustrated, I'm sure.
Very.
You know, getting in that system can, you know, make you want to poke your eyes out. It's maddening trying to get anything done. How old is Mom?
86.
Okay. Is she on medications?
Oh, yes. She had successful back surgery years ago, but is in chronic pain either in her lower back or her legs. It rotates back and forth, so she takes a lot of meds.
Okay. Well, there are, you know, a few things, obviously, that can cause that. Ultimately, it's because the fluid isn't moving. That can be from a problem with the cardiovascular system. You know, the veins aren't strong enough, you know, or the valves aren't strong enough, and the fluid's not moving up. So for that, they might use, you know, something like compression stockings. Ultimately, there are a whole bunch of things that can cause that, including medications. A lot of people on... Well, there's a whole, several categories, but where I see that a lot are in older adults that are being over-medicated for cardiovascular issues. If people, for example, have been on blood pressure medications for some period of time, that can cause a problem. The hydrochlorothiazide, Lasix-type blood pressure medications will lower potassium levels, and if the potassium levels get too low and the electrolyte system gets imbalanced, then you can see problems. The other blood pressure medications over time will actually weaken the heart, so you get sort of a semi-congestive heart failure problem. So the medications would be probably the first place I would look. Then I would look at her electrolyte levels if you have some testing, just to make sure that her sodium and potassium balance is good, because that will regulate a lot of that fluid metabolism that's happening in the body and should move. The fact that she fell is really a real danger sign. People who fall for any reason, that's a very bad thing. So you've got to get her medications checked out immediately. And if you can't get her into a vascular specialist, there are geriatric medical specialists at her age. She would certainly qualify for that. And they have a lot better training at looking at medication dosages. It's very well known, although not operated upon enough, that dosage levels are very different and need to be very different for an 86-year-old than they would be for a 56-year-old. And a lot of times people are put on those drugs, and then they're never reevaluated again. It's like, well, okay, you're doing all right. Stay on that dosage. So that would be a really critical aspect of things to do. Now, I deal in my practice with a lot of edema for a variety of reasons, and we have, in Chinese medicine, a lot of very simple herbal formulas that can really help a lot. There are some over-the-counter things. There's a simple formula called Wuling San, for example. It's called Drain Dampness by a few companies. That's what I used when I broke my foot, because I didn't want them to do surgery, and I only had a week to impress them with my healing. And so I dosed myself up with a lot of dampness-draining herbs, and my foot was absolutely looked perfectly normal. There was no swelling. There was no bruising at all after just 7 days. So there are some very, very good herbal formulas. If you have any opportunity to get her to somebody, or if you went in and explained it to your, you know, I know you see some Chinese medical doctors, if you could explain to them what's happening and tell them what the medications are, they could probably sell you something there. One of the doctors that probably my favorite doctor that I ever studied with, a guy named Wang Zhuyi, who's a channel theory specialist. He did write the book on channel theory. He feels that in your work, you may have heard about the Sanjiao channel or the triple burner or the triple warmer. Mm-hmm. It has many different names. And he really feels that channel, the Sanjiao, is the only one of the 12 organ related channels that there really isn't an organ for. And we talk about it for fluid regulation between the three jiaos, or the three areas of the torso. But he feels it has a much bigger and more important function than that, which is to regulate extracellular fluids. And whenever I see an accumulation of that type of fluid, I would immediately start treating the Sanjiao channel. And I'm saying that because, you know, I know with your background, you could easily find a book on acupuncture points, and start working the points on the Sanjiao channel, and that may start motivating those fluids a little bit and get that transport going. The secondary channel that you would want to use for that is the spleen channel, and the spleen is responsible for what we say transportation and transformation of fluids. So it's what really fundamentally regulates this fluid metabolism on a more of a deeper level, where the Sanjiao is really kind of opening the pathways and providing the messenger service. So I would do the spleen channel points on her feet. I would work from the toes up along the medial side, the inside of the legs, and just massage those spleen points, and then I would do the Sanjiao channel points on her arms. And it's going to make her feel good anyway, just being touched and massaged in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're doing that, you could take a natural bristle brush or just very light hand pressure and start doing some dry brushing from her toes up toward her hips, which would then start supporting the lymphatic system, which is also probably very clogged, very backed up, not doing its job because she's not very mobile. So that lymphatic fluid is not getting pumped because that works by muscular contraction. And so you could assist her by doing a little dry brushing from the toes up toward the hips. And I'll bet if you try those four things, get her some herbs, do the spleen channel a little bit of massage pressure, the Sanjiao channel, and a little dry brushing, I bet you start seeing some changes in her. And, of course,
Okay. Obviously
keep her legs elevated. So
yeah.
That would be my recommendation. Again, from the Western side, take a look at the labs, get her into a geriatric specialist to reevaluate her medications. Other than that, the vascular person is probably the best. You know, with that back injury, she may have some neurological problems that are affecting it too, but you're not likely to get much reasonable testing going along that avenue. So I'd probably look for the vascular person, but quite honestly, other than changing her medications, I doubt that the vascular person is going to do much. A couple of things to watch for would be B vitamin deficiencies. You want to make sure she's getting good quality B vitamins, and again, looking at her labs to make sure that she's not B12 and folate deficient would be important, because those play a role also in this fluid metabolism and movement. So that's about all I'm coming up with at the moment.
Okay. And for the B12 and the folate, what kind of blood test?
Well, if you
I know they've been doing
blood tests,
but I don't know if they're looking at that.
Yeah, they probably aren't. I had a guy come in from, he had literally a stack of labs almost an inch thick, and his most recent one had been to Stanford, where they had done all these very invasive neurological tests, and he was having neuropathy in his feet, and they showed, yeah, you do have neuropathy, but they gave him no good ideas about what to do. And he laid the stack down I laid it down right on my desk, and the first thing on the top page, he was B12 deficient. And B12 deficiency, if you look it up on the internet, one of the first three or four symptoms is neuropathy. And nobody in all these brilliant doctors, and I mean they really are brilliant people, nobody noticed that. It was the weirdest thing. So they probably have not done a B12 or a folate test, and they may not be willing to do it. Where I would look then is on her CBC, which is the complete blood count. Mm-hmm. If there's a test, it'll say MCV under the red blood cell test, and that's mean corpuscular volume. And they should have a range. Most labs are from 80 to 99. If she is up over 95, if her MCV is 95 or over, then I would be very suspicious that she's B12 or folate deficient, and try to talk the doctor into giving her a B12 shot. And if they won't do that, then doing some sublingual B12 and then some folate.
Okay.
Test is an MCV. And those tests, that blood test is very inexpensive, and I would assume that they've been doing that on her.
Okay, so they probably have it in her chart. the result.
They should have it in their chart. And I recommend to everybody that as tests get done, that you ask for copies of them right away, because it just gets the further you go down the line, the harder it is to get those. And, you know, the first thing when a patient comes in my office and we've had tests done is I hand them a copy of their labs. I mean, they're really, they belong to them. And so I would make sure that you get all that stuff. Plus, also, if you go to get a second opinion from me or from someone else or from another medical doctor, having those tests in hand is just going to save a lot of time.
Okay. Great.
The
all
other
right.
thing
These
to
are
look
all really
for,
good points.
So from the Western physiological standpoint, when we see that type of edema, we're usually looking at the kidneys or the heart. Either the heart is becoming too weak to pump properly, or the kidneys are not doing their job in some way. So those are the two aspects really to look at there. Chinese medicine, kidneys important, heart's important, but I look more to the spleen and Sanjiao channels.
Okay. And the arm points you talked about, they're spleen points that are on the arm? You
no, those are Sanjiao.
Look at the book?
And sometimes that it depends on when the book was written. It may say triple heater or triple warmer. And Sanjiao means three jowls or three levels, and it's on the outside of the arm. And if you just go online and look up Chinese meridians, you'll see dozens of sites that will list all of those, and they'll list
the
functions also.
The Barefoot Doctor's Manual is what I've...
Yeah, Barefoot Doctor's Manual. That's my excuse for going barefoot in my office sometimes.
All right, great. All right, thanks a million. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you for the phone call. Again, without the phone call, there's just not much else to do here. So let's go take another phone call before I do some announcements. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about my eye. My granddaughter bumped it when she was a baby and bumped my glasses, and I apparently got a bad infection. And every once in a while, this thing comes back where I'm real sensitive to light. I had it again, and this time, now it's gone to a pain. My eye is a pain, an ache.
When you talk about the eye, do you mean the eyeball itself?
Yes.
Or the area around the eye?
Yes. The eyeball.
The eyeball itself, okay.
Yes.
And it's only the one eye?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was looking at acupressure points last night, and I'm kind of overwhelmed. I'm not sure which one would be the best to start with.
Someone asked me about the eye, too, the other day, and she said, I get a headache right here, and she touched this area, and she goes, so what channels are there? And I was just kind of, it took me a couple minutes to gather myself, because there are so many channels in Chinese medicine that meet right there at the eye. And I just kind of had to laugh. I said, well, there are about eight that I can think of right offhand. So, yeah, it can be a little overwhelming in there.
And I noticed they kind of associated it with the liver, the eye with the liver.
The eye, for each of the organs, we will say that a particular organ flowers or makes itself known or controls. There are very different ways to speak about it and very flowery, poetic ways. But essentially, we associate the different organs with, like the kidneys are associated with the ears, and the lungs are associated with the skin, and the liver is associated with the eyes. And we feel that the eyes are really responsible for providing the blood and the chi, the energy, for good vision. And so you're right on top of that. I would tend to look a lot at liver and gallbladder points. Now there are So those are the ones I would look for, are liver gallbladder points. The gallbladder points run all over the head, and so it gets a little tricky. Does the eye swell at all?
No, it looks a little puffy this morning underneath.
Underneath, but not the eyeball itself.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
That's a very interesting question. I've never had a patient that I can remember in 30,000-plus patient visits come in with exactly that thing. So I'm really fascinated by it, and so that's why I'm taking a moment. I'm kind of thinking it through all of the possibilities here. So have you done Tweena or some acupressure massage for the eye yet? You said you were a little overwhelmed.
Just last night and this morning while I was waiting. I was doing, it seems to relieve the pain a little bit, the one right at the outer end of the eyebrow.
Oh, okay, great. That's fabulous.
That I don't know the names of these.
Well, there are a couple out there, and some of them are called extra points. Around the eye, we have quite a few extra points. And so what that means is those are points that aren't on the major channels. So it can get even, you know, more and more difficult as we look into it. There's a point, for example, right in the center of the eyebrow, a very powerful point called Yuyao, and it's not on any of the channels. And that's really good for swelling and pain of the eye. That's what it's for. So if you were to look in a mirror and directly above the center of the pupil in the eyebrow, and that's one of the best, in Chinese medicine we say it benefits the eyes, but it relaxes the sinews and alleviates pain. And when you look at Chinese textbooks and you see things that relax the sinews and alleviate pain, that's often stuff that's associated with the liver channel. So I don't know what all the connections are through here to this particular point, but it's the one I would focus on a bit. And it's really the classic for diseases of the eyes and the eyelids. And we
right
needle
on
that
the
a
eyebrow.
Lot. Yeah,
right
in the center of the eyebrow.
The uh-huh.
Then if you come out to the side, there are a couple points. There's some right at what we call the outer canthus, and then there's points on the temple. And those are both very good points. One is called Taiyang. That's the one that's kind of in the center of the temple. And that's a really good point to massage for eye
problems. So how would I find that?
Well, it's pretty easy. If you just come out from what we call it the outer canthus, where the bone is at the lateral part of the eye. Okay. And then you just bring your thumb back until you find the indentation. You'll find a soft spot where we would call it the temple. And you want to massage that point pretty gently because it'll get sore if you massage it too much. And that really, a lot of the blood flow in that area, there's an artery system there that is really great to massage gently to improve blood flow to that area. So I would really, I think you're really right on track. I would focus on those. The other point you might try is a point on the hand. We have thousands of points we might consider for this, but on the index finger, and right where, so if you go to where the thumb meets the index finger, and that bone, if you come up about halfway to the highest point on that bone, where the tissue is, and kind of press in there, you'll probably find a very sore spot, and if it's sore, you want to massage that fairly regularly. That is
this is the knuckle bone?
Close to it. So there's the knuckle, and then if you come from the knuckle where the finger meets the hand on the index finger, and you come up about halfway to where the thumb joins the hand, and in that area, and it doesn't have to be real precise, there's a point called Hugu, large intestine 4. And it's really kind of a command point or a control point, different people, you know, again, different names, for the face. And it is often used along with any specific points to really activate the channels on the face. So I would massage that first.
Am I going toward the thumb or toward the index finger?
You're going toward the thumb. Yeah, it's difficult to explain. The Chinese actual textbooks, it would say on the dorsum of the hand, which is the back of the hand, and it's between the first and second metacarpal. So the first metacarpal is the thumb. Second metacarpal is the index finger.
Yes, okay.
Okay, and it's the midpoint of that second metacarpal. So the bone of the hand itself.
Okay.
It's right on the border where the skin changes color, right? You'll have kind of the skin color from the back of the hand, and then it loses its pigmentation a little bit. And right there, there's a high point there, and that's Hugu. And it's, you know, a command point, a very powerful point. We use it for headaches. We use it for toothaches, swelling of the face, tons of different things of the whole body, but particularly the face. There are some systems of acupuncture that if you just had anything going on in the head or the face, you would massage that point. So I would do that first, and then I would come up to the eye and do that point directly above the eye, and then I would do the Taiyang points on the lateral, and then I would just feel around and see if you can find any other painful points. And we call those asha points, meaning they're painful, and just gently massage any of those that you find.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and good luck with those. Then if that doesn't quite do it, then I would pull out a book and look at the liver channel and look at the points then on the feet for the liver channel, and that may help too. Now, one of the things about doing those distant points is that when you massage locally, you're going to bring more energy to it typically, and you're going to also move the energy. It's going to kind of open it up. But if it's a little bit excessive energy, that may not be as effective as going down to do these distant points, which can actually then kind of balance everything and bring the energy down to the lower part of the body. So do a combination of each and see which ones give you the best results.
Is there a good place to look on the web for an excellent picture of all the points?
I don't know. I haven't looked. Well, let me back up. Yes, there are. My wife's an acupuncture student, and she has such an amazing array of things that she's downloaded off the web. It's just amazing. She has more information on her iPad than I've ever had in my entire education in Chinese medicine. So they're there. I just don't know where to find them, but it shouldn't be too hard.
All right. Okay? Well, I appreciate your help.
Oh, yeah, and thank you so much for the call. This is the first time you've called, isn't it?
No, it's not, and I wanted to ask you, did you ever get a yogurt maker?
I did. Oh, you called about the yogurt? No,
yeah.
I didn't. I haven't gotten around to ordering one yet. So if you have any hot tips, I'd be happy about that.
Okay, well, I don't. I have one. It's not in very good shape, but maybe someday I'll have to get it over to you.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you so much. Yeah,
okay.
I would just love to make some homemade yogurts. My son loves yogurt, so he'd have fun with it, too. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
So I'm trying to throw a little more Chinese medicine in case you hadn't noticed. It's one of the things I get scolded gently about from time to time is, why don't you ever talk about Chinese medicine on this Chinese medicine show? So I'm trying to throw in a few more practical Chinese medical ideas. I hope you're all okay with that. So let's go ahead and take another phone call. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi there.
Dr. Meters.
How you
My
doing?
Name is Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
I'm doing okay. I was calling to ask you about a couple of medications, and I was actually a patient of yours when I was down in the Bay Area. You were treating me for sundry GI problems.
Oh, great. Good to hear from you. Where are you now?
Hi.
Where are you
Sacramento.
Now? Oh, okay. Well, what medications?
So the first one was Miralax for constipation. I looked it up online, and I didn't find a lot of information about it other than, like, the standard things that can bum you out when you take medications, and then also that it might be habit-forming.
Well, I think Miralax has polyethylene glycol in it, or is polyethylene glycol, I can't remember now, which, you know, it's very closely related to what you would put in your car as antifreeze. Which is a little scary right off the top, right? So, yeah, it's a little interesting. Yeah, how long have you been using that?
I haven't. I took, to deal with proctitis, I was prescribed a course of mesalamine, which solved the issue with the lining of my colon, but then broke the muscles, like, further up, like around the ileocecal valve.
Yeah, that's a drag.
No kidding, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you've gone through a lot. and it's, by the way, it's really great to hear from you. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Miralax. There are times when, you know, we have to do whatever we have to do, but it's certainly not one of my favorites. It's just a little nasty, actually. And is nothing else is working?
Well, I don't know that I would say that. I just kind of, in having a dialogue with my doctor, I told him that I was going to do some more research before. Because, you know, from his perspective, it's really safe. I mean, he says that, you know, they even give it to infants, you know, and his, like, wife says that I got it.
They give Tylenol to infants, too, which is why who have then seven times the rate of asthma. So there are lots of things that they give to kids that really are not all that safe, of course. Yeah.
So what would you recommend, that has a similar function?
Well, again, what we're looking at here is, in terms of function, is you know, we want the bowels to move properly. This does it by stimulation, you know, as opposed to bulking up or some other thing. So it's really kind of overpowering things. I don't really know what the closest natural thing would be to that. Yeah, I'm thinking probably like some of the slippery elm type things or aloes, things like that would probably be the closest. I would really try to go more toward the herbal stuff. There are some very strong Chinese herbs that I don't like to use a lot. The dried aloe vera, which has very different qualities from aloe vera juice, is very strong as a bowel stimulant. But I would think it's probably safer, or I would rather use it than this. How are you reacting to fibers these days? Are fibers bothering you much?
It's hard to say. Like, I wouldn't say it's consistent, but I try to go more with the soluble fibers than the insoluble fibers in my food.
And have you done konjac mannan? I don't remember.
Neither do I.
I use konjac mannan fibers mostly for my patients that have blood sugar dysregulation because it absorbs a lot of simple carbohydrates and sugars. But one of the reasons it's so effective for that is because that particular fiber will absorb a couple hundred times its weight in water. And so it really makes a nice mass of very soft stool. And so that is one that I find a lot of my patients are really thankful because they've been on these heavy laxatives and things, and when I'm trying to work on their blood sugar, suddenly they start having stools that may be a little too loose to start with, but they have great stools, bowel movements. So I would look maybe at that, and that's pretty easy to find. Again, I get mine from a company where they call it PGX, but it's really konjac mannan fiber. So I would try some of that. I'm assuming your magnesium level is up there pretty good.
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as you keep enough magnesium to form a good stool. And, you know, just the magnesium salts, which, you know, have been used as laxatives, I think are probably, I would prefer them to the Miralax. So I would probably go with magnesium, the konjac mannan, and see if that will make it work okay.
Okay. So the other thing that he recommended was Levsun, which I guess is high... I don't even know how to say it.
Can you spell it for me?
L-E-V-S-I-N. And
L-E-V-S-I-N. I must plead my ignorance here. I do not know what that is. Is that another scopolamine type drug?
I will spell it for you because I have no idea how to pronounce it. It's H-Y-O.
Yeah,
hyoscyamine.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So, did you say, you said you were on scopolamine before? Is that right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just mesalamine.
Mesalamine. Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
for the inflammation. Hyoscyamine is it's found in a lot of plants. It's actually, he's giving you an herbal treatment in a way, but it's from these really poisonous plants, like mandrake root, which was used as a poison. A couple of famous poisoners in the 15th and 16th centuries used it, henbane, stuff like that. So it's a pretty strong drug, but it has some really nice effects in a way in terms of getting rid of spasms. So, you know, it's not my favorite drug, but certainly not on my list of least favorites. The side effects that I would worry about would be, for you, might be arrhythmia. It has a few things. You know, you can get kind of restless, dry mouth, things like that. But one of them is arrhythmia. So you'd want to be really careful if you start to use it. And mostly, these are drugs that were the original use, plant uses, they were hallucinogens. Now, unfortunately, you're not going to get that out of the one he's going to give you, but they're used for that a lot. A lot of religious rituals, they used it. So it's kind of fascinating. If you're having spasms, that's not a bad choice. It's better than some of the other things they might do. The reason I'm kind of hesitant is it is going to stop spasming, and I'm wondering if it's going to be a problem in terms of counteracting what you're doing on the other end, like with Miralax. So it's kind of interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I've seen that combination before, but I've never quite. I'm just assuming that Levsyn, I'm not familiar with, but hyoscyamine, I am. That I'm assuming that they're being given because one's counteracting the other or the side effects of the other. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, mostly it's just pain in the lower right quadrant.
Right.
Like after I eat for a while, and so I don't know that I experience it as spasms, but. So maybe he's interpreting something there.
Yeah, having worked with you, you're certainly a wonderful person, but a very atypical case.
Right.
And, you know, at some point, doctors, including myself, you go, well, let's try this. I think he's probably at that point of, well, let's try this. You know, we've tried these other things and they haven't worked. And that's not a bad thing to try. If you are getting cramping around the ileocecal valve, which, you know, you have certainly had pain there, and it certainly could be caused by spasticity, this, if nothing else, would confirm that or let you know that that's not the problem. It's not a particularly dangerous drug, as long as you just check your pulse once in a while, make sure you're not getting any arrhythmias or missed heartbeats. That's not a bad way to go to see if that gets rid of the pain. I think it's kind of not a bad idea on their part.
Would you be concerned about it? I typically have kind of low blood pressure.
Yes, I would. And that's why I'm saying, because also with the arrhythmia, I don't remember all the side effects, but, you know, dizziness, fainting, that type of stuff. So I'd be very careful when you do use it. And I would make sure that the doc remembers that you have that issue, because you might want to adjust the dosage or something with that. But in general, I think it's probably a good call. Again, A, because it might work, and B, because it's diagnostic. You know, if it works, you know what the problem is.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
I'm really happy to hear from you, and thanks for the call.
Thanks for your time.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Like, you know, doctors all the time are saying, oh, my God, the herbs. You know, who would ever trust herbal stuff? And I started making a list once of all the drugs that I see coming through, you know, metformin, which is an extract from the French lilac, and Byetta, which is Gila monster spit. And then these drugs, which are from these really trippy, deadly nightshade, that was the one I was trying to think of, is one of the places that you can get this, I believe. So these are really powerful, powerful extracts from these herbs. And so many of our medications are derived from herbs. And they come out of, and the pharmacologist didn't just suddenly have this brainstorm of, oh, let's create this drug called Levsyn and, you know, maybe it'll do this. No, they're looking at the literature. They've probably read hundreds of studies on the effects of these herbal remedies, and then you just purify it and you can get a patent for it and make millions of dollars. But often the natural plant works a little better because you may not have as many side effects. Now, in this case, I certainly wouldn't recommend that anybody do the plants because you could kill yourself. So let's go ahead and take another call. Hi, this is Peters.
Hi, John.
Kent, I was wondering if you were going to get in today.
All right. Yes, well, I did want to crowd out some of the new callers. You had some good new callers.
It's very fun. Very fun.
Yeah. By the way, I have a silly mnemonic for remembering the new phone number. I couldn't find the phone number. And it's 415-BAD-TAG-0. Bad is not good. Tag is in tag, you're it, and then zero. And that's the only way
God.
I'm able to...
It's so funny how everybody thinks differently.
Yeah.
So that auditory kind of memorization, and when I remember, it's almost, with a few exceptions, like if I'm remembering certain dialogues, mine is all visual.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm remembering the jerseys of football players that I played with in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, when you have an entire framework of other facts that connect to it, then basically you have an entire network of associations which combine to give you the memory. So
yes, and that's what I tell acupuncture students all the time, because a lot of them, the points come pretty easily, and the herbs are so difficult, and it's because they don't have a framework created yet where to put the herbs. They just kind of float, where with the acupuncture points, well, you've got something grounding them. It's right here, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's very different. So what's up?
Oh, well, do you happen to know if dogs can handle wormwood Qinghao okay? My dog got threadworm, also known as pinworm. I'm treating with a standard medication, Well, I'm just wondering if you've heard of a good wholesome preventative.
No, and I am totally ignorant of veterinary medicine. I love animals. I've coexisted with animals most of my life, and I know almost nothing. I just really trust my vet there, and so I do not know. Now, there are a couple of acupuncturist herbalists in the Bay Area that are very good with that type of stuff. There's also, have you ever seen the website for Dr. Becker, B-E-C-K-E-R?
No.
I now get, I think, about 90 medical newsletters of one type or another, and one of them is a veterinary newsletter. It's very cool. A lot of holistic stuff, and I'll bet if you go on that site and go through search engine, you very well have quite a bit of information on that.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of these things that it's like dogs can use quite a number of things that we can use, but there's quite a number of things that we can use that are deadly to them. So we.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Careful.
I don't have the framework where I hold that information. I would go to Becker, but that's a great question.
Okay, and I mean, dogs are good about eating things to self-medicate themselves, you know, different plants and like that. There may be something that they normally use to self-medicate.
Yeah, our cat. But typically, you know, this time of year when these green plants are coming out, they will eat a lot of the greenery and then purge in different ways. It's very fascinating.
Right. Yeah. I do know that psilocybin, you know, good for the liver. I will use that if I'm using like an anti. I had a puppy once that was having trouble with Giardia, and we gave again the standard medication, but the standard medication had a reputation for sometimes causing liver problems. And so we would always supplement it with psilocybin to help protect the liver.
Oh, that's great, and that's great news.
Okay. Well, anyway, thanks, Guy.
Sorry, yeah.
Kid. I mean, just you gave me a good place to go look.
Excellent. All righty.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, right, great stuff. Let's see if we can get in one more one-minute call. Hi, this is Dr. Neeters.
John.
Hello.
Hey, it's John. Yes, can you hear me?
I can. We've got about 1 minute.
Okay, high blood pressure. I've got about 100. It varies from 175 to about 190. I'm in my 60s. You know, I don't have any symptoms, no heart problems. It's just something that's been creeping up over years.
Is it worse in the morning or worse later in the day?
Worse in the morning. Yeah, in the morning it's like 190, and later on it gets down to like 175.
Okay.
And it's been progressive. It's been progressive for the last 30 years. It's gone from 130 up to what it is now.
Okay. For I would love to have you call me back at the beginning of the show next week, because I would love to spend some time kind of parsing through the diagnostic process on this and which direction to go. And in the afternoon, I could give you a really quick answer. Having the high morning blood pressure actually involves a lot more hormonal and other balance issues. So if you can call me back, I would love it.
Sure. I'm trying to get avoid the medication at all costs if I can.
Yeah, because, you know, long-term, cause problems. You know, if you can't get it down, then you do need the medication. But I'm going to give you about half a dozen ideas at least next week about things that you might be able to do to get it down.
Okay, great.
What's your name?
That. Okay, John.
All right.
Okay, appreciate
talk to you next week.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, really fascinating stuff. So tune in at the beginning of the show next week, all of you, and we'll look at, because, you know, high blood pressure is an epidemic in this country, not in other countries, by the way. So we'll take a look at that, and that's really an interesting place to go. So again, a couple of last-moment reminders. If you want to hear the show again or if you want to look into our archives, simply go to thebalancingpoint.net, thebalancingpoint.net, and then you can also replay this show. Thank you, be happy, and I'll look forward to speaking with you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Oh, what a joy. I stand in the sun.